Blog Talk Radio.
Come take a magical journey to the dawn of a new era. Unveil the mysteries behind the curtain with empathic healer Dawn Thompson.
Hello, everybody out there in the cosmic realm. How's it going? Anybody out there?
Yeah, there's all of us are out here.
I know, I love it. Ooh, I love it so much. Happy February, happy Embolic, happy Groundhog Day.
I'm feeling
February because it feels like spring today, and it probably shouldn't, but it does.
What's the temperature there, Dawn?
So here, that's right, you're in Virginia, which is beautiful, right? Or North Carolina?
Virginia. Virginia Beach.
Oh, it's, I think it's in the 50s today, and the sun is shining, and how about Virginia?
It's a high of 73.
Oh, my goodness. That's what I'm talking about. That's the place to be. My mom lives in Virginia. It's quite an epic state, actually.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't have picked a better time to come down.
You picked a perfect time, or did you pick?
She picked it.
I was going to say, I think the universe picked for you.
Yes.
All right, so we got the sirens. Proof that it is the first Wednesday of the month. I always feel like I'm in this state of exhaustion but excitement. Like, I'm always in a sense of reflection around this time. It seems to be my cycle, the first Wednesday of the month. I'm, like, super, super deep reflective mode. And I just love sharing the processes of what's gone because it feels really big. I was just looking through all our old, texts and how you had posted about the planetary alignment and the portal that was included in that. And, when I reread it, it was like I heard new stuff all over again, which at the time I just wasn't sure of. And now I'm more curious about, like, what this is. A huge transformation that we're going into.
Absolutely.
Huge. And, my role as an urban shamanic is to facilitate my own death processes and then, like, witness other people's. I like to channel, right, meditate before I do the show. And, like, okay, well, what should we focus on? I mean, ultimately, I like to just channel and see where it goes. That's the best, those end up being the best shows that I've heard or been a part of. But I like to get some messages from spirit. That's how I do. That's how I roll. And there was this big theme about, how everybody wants to be heard. Everyone wants to be seen for who they are. And that struggle there. So I don't know why, but that's what came up, like, as one of the themes was, like, how bad everyone wants to be seen and heard for where they're at. And so if anyone else wants to put in, call in later and cycle in. I know my experience has been, especially in the last year, the process that I've been noticing is, really deeply listening to others but yet they would keep repeating the same thing. And I'm like, well, this isn't helping. And then I was noticing that I really wanted to be heard through my process. And anyways, there seems to be a shift into a deeper acknowledging of our own process, hearing ourselves and seeing where we're at. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very intricate process. I mean, it's a very intricate process of being in the moment, listening to the body. And so I've been doing some different practices that I'll share in the next hour that might be helpful, and other people can chip in on how to, you know, when you find yourself really wanting to be heard, you're really wanting to be seen, there's some, you know, strong emotions coming up. We were talking earlier about anger. I've got, you know, I get anger coming up, and I know I've talked about before on the show and with all the people that know me that, you know, anger is something that says that something else wants to be seen. There's a need that needs to be met or seen, and a base need for me for safety in the world has come up, like knowing that we're going to be okay, that we're going to be safe, because it's not looking so, you know, safe out there. Now, true, a lot of it is because of news and social media, you know, like I feel like if I didn't look at any of that, that I would feel totally safe, because my actual world is pretty dang safe.
It's the factors of us that are involved in it.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the human aspect that makes the world maybe a little less, you know, safe, I guess, or unstables it a little bit, because nature in its own way does its own natural, you know, thing, rhythm. We kind of change that rhythm as humans. Just, we're so unique.
We do. Well, and there's just so much resistance against the rhythms. Like, this is the first winter I've actually done the, you know, I have the honor of living in Ohio, you know, so I get to do the whole, you know, the whole practice of stopping and reflecting and going within and not trying to create, not trying to be out in the world, but to take the time to do what the trees are doing here in Ohio and in many states right now. You know, they let go of their leaves, they let go of their growth, and they're just like, let's sleep and go deep and soak up some nutrients and just chill for a while. And I, in the past, did not even know that was an option. And so I feel like probably a lot of people don't know that that's an option to do. So, it's been so transformative. Whew. No wonder people get sick and afraid, because it's there is a time to take a chill. Take a chill, eh?
Mm-hmm. Take a chillin'.
Take a chillin'.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to be here in Virginia and just see, you know, how nature has just, she does her own thing, you know. It's 70 degrees and it's 50 degrees there, and it's like we have no control over it. And then it's kind of like the baby, you know, the baby is the new baby in our family.
Yeah.
How much control she has, you know, in our little world, you know. We have to feed her. She cries, or we have to feed her. We have to hold her. We have to, you know, nourish her. She's like a seed, you know. She's like a seed that we have to, you know, sow it and plant it and introduce positive things to it. You know, she's going to learn all the things that she knows about life through the people that are around her.
Yeah. She's got some really awesome people around her to learn from. She must be a very powerful soul to choose your family, because your family's pretty epic, Iggy. Pretty epic.
she's an old soul, man. She's an old soul. You can tell.
I saw that in her eyes. I saw that, you know, in her face and her demeanor. She definitely is an old soul. I like that. I like looking at, I like the theme of returning like a child. And I've been doing my own work with a new healer who, you know, came to me at just the right time, and there's a lot of going into my body, remembering some past, even prehistoric lifetimes. So I just remember how old we are. We are so old, and we haven't always all lived on this planet. And I know that's getting really out there, but, you know, the more I go into my, you know, my vision and psyche, I see that we have done so many things, and it would make sense. There's like a collective trauma, you know, like life is, I mean, how many lifetimes have we had where we've had scary things happen? And so that it makes sense that we get this sense of wanting to control, wanting to vote, wanting to, you know, have things be a certain way in order to predict the outcome. But you're right. Nature does her own thing. And, And so I was gifted last week, or maybe the week before, my friends created this business called Belief Boards, and they have different sayings on them. And my favorite one that I was just gifted says, resist nothing. And another friend of mine, who I talk about all the time, she's just like one of my best friends in the world, Aster Chaska, he told me a long time ago, you know, he taught me, took me on meditations of going under the river and letting go of the paddle. And we're really going to all need to do that to our best ability this year, is to really let go of that control and return like a child. Scream when you're hungry. Scream. Like,
yes.
Freaking scream. If we all quit holding in when we have a need to rest, or we have a need to eat, or we have a need for a hug, you know, but we have been taught to hold that in, and then shit gets so twisted when it's really, really, really simple. Let's just say, hey, I'm hungry. I'm stopping right now. My body said I need to eat.
That's funny.
It's really funny. That simple.
You know, it's funny you brought that up, because I sat here and I watched TV, because they don't have cable, so I watched these HD cables ad. Well, it's the Animal Planet like show on there, and they were talking about all the birds and how they use other animals to like raise their young. I don't want to get into too complicated story. We'll talk about some of that, but this one thing was interesting, because it was these sets of birds. What they would do is, when they wanted to be fed, they'd go out into the open where the danger was, where the predators were, and they would just scream. And then the other family birds would have to go feed it, you know, to keep it quiet so they wouldn't get eaten by the predators. But these birds had learned. These birds learned how to get fed by doing this, and they do it every time they're born. You know, they're newborns. You know, they do this. It's crazy. And they thought it was just an odd thing, but it turned out it was just how these babies get fed 9 times more than, you know, the average baby bird. It was pretty cool. Mother Nature's cool, man.
That's genius. Mother Nature is cool. I love watching Animal Planet shows, and with my daughter, and we watched one about different animals, you know, becoming friends, that it doesn't make any sense, you know, like predators. Yeah. And I mean, there is no rhyme or reason, but yeah. So yeah, I like that. Scream to get your needs met. And I think in some ways that's what's happening. It's just gotten too complicated, is that people are, you know, and I'm just noticing this from, again, social media and the election coming up. And we do have, you know, Mother Earth is out of balance due to the lack of us living through her and through our cycles and blah, blah, blah. As it's all meant to be. It's not bad. I mean, there's something that Spirit is working with me now about returning, the return of innocence, which, again, it's so cool. We have a baby in the background in our radio show presence today, because you know, I mean, what fun would it be if we were always in the innocence? I don't know. I think, you know, Lemuria or Mew or in our first lands, we were in that innocence. Or if you look at, you know, the Bible stories about, you know, everything was perfect, and then but we have the knowledge, and then it's about how we play with the knowledge and learning, you know, where we are powerful and where we are powerless. I know I personally have had a great lesson in the balance of, or still in it, balance of being humble and balance of also self-esteem, because it doesn't serve to be, you know, so humble that I don't know anything. It's like, no, I've been through a lot of traumas. I have a lot to share. I should be dead. I should not be here. I could have given up on myself, but I didn't. And so, but at the same time, you know, I don't want to go to or hear from a person who then thinks they know it all either. I know nothing. I know everything. I know some. There's more to know.
That's life, isn't it?
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. It feels good to be at this point right now, because the death process, the literal death process, and all the change, I know from other people and myself that, you know, it's been scary, and I get where I've tried to control, I've tried to dip out and anesthetize. The teasing was so powerless. People, you know, I don't know about you guys, but like when people around me that I really, really love go through really hard things, I feel even more powerless, because ultimately, I'm there to witness their process, but boy, do I want to fix it. You know, I want to fix my daughter's suffering when she had a huge change in her life, and I saw her go into fear and control and, you know, eating, addiction, property. And it's like, as a mother, that is very scary. How do I facilitate her going through big changes? Because I can't fix it. And so what I'm finding is a deep, deep presence. Now, I can't, ironically, I can't give her that deep, deep presence until I'm giving it to my, going back to the beginning, myself, seeing myself where I'm at and what's going on with me. So it's a fun practice of that. So it's a dance, but it is really simple, though. It really has to do with that being in the moment. Then the Maslow's hierarchy needs, big endings, a big beginning.
Yeah. It's boom, bam.
My Wee Moon calendar, I don't know if anyone knows about this, but there's a Wee Moon calendar that is epic, and it's made by this collective group of women, and on the front, I get it every year. It has horoscopes, and it has different idea columns for what is going, like, happening in throughout the year, and transformation. And this year, they have a huge phoenix on it, and they're like, "It's leap year. It is the year of death and rebirth." So offering little. It'd be nice if today we could share little tidbits of how, you know, how people who we still are in the system, but how we can sustain ourselves, listen to our bodies, and get through, or, you know, get through this change that's happening. Because it's big.
Yeah. The big rebirth. The phoenix. I love the phoenix.
I know, right? Wouldn't that be a sweet tattoo? Big old phoenix.
I'm not sure where I would put it. Maybe my butt, maybe. It's a rebirth. Yes. No,
I'm sorry. I'm rebirthing. Minerals is a big one. Minerals is a really big one. I know that Kaleidolife, I know that I've been doing the Kaleidolife minerals, but then there's a lot of absorption issues. Here I go on my little fun health kick. Sorry, guys. I just love health right now. I'm pretty much considering going back and getting some kind of anatomy classes because I've just been studying it and intrigued by the human body and how it works and, you know, how our food has been poisoned, which many of us know because we're overpopulated. So how do we sustain, A, first and foremost, nutrition through this? Because, and so what I've been doing for several years is eating mostly organic, taking a ton of supplements, but it wasn't enough. So I don't know, as people get further along their process of transmuting into more of their light bodies or their fifth dimensional bodies or whatever's going on, that's a very woo-woo-y way of putting it. There's probably a more practical way of putting it. I guess the practical would be we've had poisonous foods for a long time. And so now, and they've been genetically modified and our bodies are like, what is this? How do I process it? And so, you know, throughout my research and the death process last year of losing teeth and losing hair and having all this issue, you know, all these mind cloudiness, and I'm finding some solutions. So I'm very excited about that, actually. I mean, it's kind of hard to be the teacher that has to go through it hardcore first, but I guess it makes it more valid in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now I choose to do it. So so I was talking about the bone broth last time and how, you know, the animals came to me, you know, animals in my dreams, and they were like, because I'm like, I don't know about this, kind of weird, like, what, you know, but I felt really drawn. And that's the thing I think that we can do if we're not feeling good, if we're feeling tired, if we're feeling sluggish, if we're not absorbing nutrition, the first thing to do would be just to ask. You know, ask. I mean, I know I said a few shows back, I went to the doctor and they're like, sorry, we don't know, because modern medicine is there to fix once it's gotten into cancer, once it's gotten into, you know, and I feel empowered and intrigued to share with others how to you know, how to little steps. So the bone broth is good, but I also just ordered some organic collagen, which, so same thing. It's bones, it's minerals, it's basically deep earth medicine. Super into it right now. It's very sustaining when in the death process to just really just absorb that, and earthing, which is the term I just discovered. I've been doing it for a while, but I didn't know what it was called. And it's really warm where you're at, so you would have a blasty doing it, where it's a little cooler here. So I'm doing it anyway. And it's simply taking your bare feet and getting on, you know, mud, earth, sand. And the more I researched this scientifically, because I knew
I'm hitting the beach.
Are you getting the baby?
No, I thought I'm hitting the beach. I'm hitting the beach later.
Oh, you're hitting the beach. Oh, my God. I'm jelly. I'm excited for you. I'm not jealous. I'm excited for you. Maybe a hint jealous. So, yeah, scientifically, they found these, like, neurons and electrons that match up with the earth and your feet. It's so cool. And they've done all this research to where, you know, you can eat all the bone broth you want or do all the supplements you want, but if your bare skin is not hitting the earth, you will get sick. I am baffled. I'm just like, that makes so much sense. We have to recalibrate on her.
That's so true.
Are you going to take off your sandals and walk on the beach?
Oh, I'll be barefooted for sure. You'll probably see little videos of me running in the water. Love the water.
Me too. Water is very cleansing. We had a rain last night, and I threw open all the windows. And also, the embolic is very good for embolic, or however you say it, embolic. Is the, you know, it's the return of the light, which I take my daughter to her music lesson last night, and it has been dark, and this is the first week that it was light when I take her at 6 p.m. And I was like, thank you, return of the light. And, so I've been redecorating, doing some cleaning and redecorating and making my bedroom a really sacred space, because it's been a little, my house has looked the same for a while, and if I want transformation, if I want rebirth, you know, there's a as inside as outside. I put up these beautiful LED lights, and I even put LED lights throughout my dream catcher. When I was putting those in, I looked over, and there's an actual literal spider right beside my bed. And I'm like, oh, you're the one, grandmother spider, giving me all these dreams. Because I've been dreaming. I don't know how she's alive in the winter, but she straight came in to give me some epic dreams. Have you had any dreams lately?
Yeah, I've been dreaming a lot lately.
I know, right? What's up with that? It's so cool.
Yeah, but they're real dreaming. They're like really, like almost lucid, to the point where it's like, wow. I had a dream last night.
Oh, go ahead.
They're not necessarily scary, but they're just aspects of myself that I have to look at. I saw tornadoes in my dream last night, or tornadoes building up in the background, and people frantically running around trying to figure out what to do. And but yet, I was like, I wasn't scared or anything. It was just like, you have to prepare for anything, I guess, preparation. And but you know, then I have other dreams that are just completely opposite of that. But yeah, but the dreams have been pretty strong, boom, boom, like really. And some I know I dreamt, and I just don't remember. Or part of me doesn't choose to remember.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
Yeah, I had a week, probably right after the last show, where it was like the final pushing. If you think of birth and death, it's very similar, right? And so in some ways, they're very interconnected. They're both the gates, the portals. That's when the DMT in your pituitary gland comes out, birth and death. So anyways, like, as I'm pushing through this last death process of feeling extremely alone in the world, feeling extremely not heard, super survivalistic. And these are all because my subconscious, which is 90% of our brain, of our consciousness, is subconscious. 10, we're working right now on 10% pretty much. So So yeah, my subconscious had a great purge, and it was scary. I have not had nightmares in years, and these were they definitely seemed alternate realities, like places that I'm at right now that this is actually happening, but they were things that I'm afraid of, you know, like me and my boyfriend splitting up, or, you know, not having a home, or like the basic survivalistic things, which interestingly enough came up many times during the ayahuasca experience too, just basic survival. And I think even though they were scary and I might have been a little shaken up during the day, by the end I realized that I had purged that fear. So there's so much cleansing to do. And so, yeah, I had about a week at that. And, you know, I'm ready for teaching. It's so funny. I went to work, and I worked with this lady who very, very religious, and she's kind of like a work mom to me. But, you know, it's different because she's very religious and I'm not. I'm more spiritual, and there's no right or wrong way to be. But anyways, so she's like, I've been having all these dreams, and I'm like, oh, tell me. And she's having dreams. She's like healing like Jesus people, and she's doing all these epic things where people are coming to her saying, this is your year. You've been chosen. And I'm like, oh, well, that's lovely. I'm just having a dream that, you know, I'm about to die. And it's like the most ridiculous, non-spiritual, feels like horrible dreams. But, you know, going into that, this is the pattern I'm talking about. Here's the story about that. It's that I deeply listened. She said, will you listen to my dream? So I've listened to it, you know, about 10, 20 minutes. And then I went to share my dream with her, and she just kind of turned away. So it's a very weird dynamic that's been happening for a little while where, you know, I've been deeply listening, and then when I go to get it in return, they feel so heard and listened to, but then they turn away. Really? And so it's that's very weird. Bizarre. I mean, even to the point where I went into a coffee shop a couple weeks ago, and she said, how are you? What's been going on? We kind of know each other. And I started to tell her, and she walked into the other room. And I was like, you know, I'm just not valuing this kind of connection. So still winter, stepping back and finding out that a lot of people aren't feeling like they're being heard. So, you know, I just go back to journaling, listening to myself, maybe talking to myself in the mirror. Like if anyone out there isn't feeling, I don't know why I'm feeling very pushed to keep pushing this message. If anyone out there is not feeling heard, A, you can pay people to hear you, which is really nice. I've done that. And then they just have to. Now I don't have to absorb, but, you know, ask your guides to get you a deep listener. I'm a very good deep listener. B, listen to yourself, because there's some aspect to this web to where if you're not really deep within yourself and knowing what's living in you, your words aren't coming out clearly. And that's exactly part of what I was going through. It's like I wanted someone to tell me. I wanted to be seen. I wanted to be heard for this death process. And it's a combination, you know. So,
yeah.
And there's a part of our system and our subconscious that feels really safe with ourselves and in the world when we're consciously parenting ourselves, when we're consciously, this cool new term I learned, adulting.
Yeah.
Having integrity, respect for ourselves, you know, and it's a balance. For example, I love to party. I love to have fun and rage, and a lot of people were going to this big party this weekend, and I thought, you know, I really, like, I'm in this process. I want to dance, but I want to be really responsible, and so I set a time limit. You know, I set all these boundaries for myself rather than make it all or nothing, and it's like I kept with it. And therefore, a part of me trusts myself more. And therefore, I feel very safe in the world because I know that no matter what, I'm not going to give up on myself.
Good.
And it's a good feeling.
Good. Awesome.
Hmm.
You know, what's funny is, you know, when I'm here and I'm thinking about, you know, a lot being a parent and then being a grandparent, and then actually listening to people. So it's really cool. It's a cool feeling to actually see life in a different way, to observe it from a different point of view. And that was one of those cool things that I really enjoyed.
So what do you enjoy about, like, when I envision it, I see, like, you know, I've seen pictures of you and your wife and your children when they were little, and I've seen them on Facebook, and now there's this, you know, the cycle coming back, and now your children are having children, and, like, what all does that invoke in you?
Well, you know, when I look at the pictures when I was younger, I wonder, what was I like, you know? Did I have patience? Did I listen, you know? And I got some confirmation that I did, and then I'm sure there's some signs that I didn't, but it's just funny just to kind of be like the elder and observing from a distance, you know, observing what's happening and watching how things are playing out, which is really cool. And watching Jake and Markel going through their little struggles and me just, I have a choice to either open my mouth or just watch them, you know, go through the struggle and learn from it. And I find myself that, you know, I'll know when to say something and I'll know when not to say something, which is really cool. So that's the cool part about it. That's the cool part about it. It's like, you know, it's okay. They're going to have that, you know. And it's either going to make them stronger or it's going to break them apart. You know, that's the only thing you can, you know, I'm thinking. But I think it's going to make them stronger in the long run. They're going to have to visit those things. So it's pretty, I'm proud of them. You know, it's hard work. It's hard work raising a family. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's the most rewarding and hard work. I mean, it brings up, for me, it brings up, I want to validate that you're holding a lot of space, and I'm so grateful that they have you and Susie. It's really beautiful witness. And I know for me that, like, having my daughter has allowed me, well, first of all, there's a saying, once you have a child, it's like your heart, it jumps out of your body, and it's just walking around, and it's, so there's that. I remember, and part of what they're going through possibly when you first have a child is you don't know that feeling's going to happen. I mean, you do, but you don't know until your heart is now outside of your body, part of your heart. And so, again, that fear, that fearfulness of anything could happen. And so it does. It brings up a need for safety and security in the world. And but also, you know, just open that, those breaks, those cracks, just open up places in my heart I didn't even know existed. And I was flipping through my Facebook last night, you know, I got sucked in, I went back to like 4 years ago or something, and I forgot about this, but Shay, who must have been, she would have been 6 years old, said to me, and I quoted on Facebook, she said, "Mommy, many people do not know why they came to this earth, but I do." And I said, "Well, what did you come to earth for, girl?" And she goes, "To help people." And for a six-year-old to, I just, the things she has taught me, I didn't believe in past lives. I didn't think about past lives until I had her, until she was two. And she says, "I need to get back home to Egypt." And I'm like, "Excuse me? Well, what am I doing here? I need to be in Egypt, my home." And I'm like, "What?" And I had never even, and I look back at her in her car seat, and she goes, "Oh, Mommy, can you feel the Mother Goddess?" And I thought, A, I wasn't super, you know, 10 years or 9 years ago, I didn't really know too much about the Mother Goddess. I just lost my father and had a kid. I wasn't super, like, I wasn't too focused on that. I was a little focused on survival. And but here's this child that remembers the feeling of the Mother Goddess, and wow, children are teachers.
Most definitely.
And what I love is that I had to grow up. I don't love that I had. I grew up in survivalism and trauma, and I didn't get to learn analytically. You know, I didn't do math. I couldn't focus on math. I couldn't focus on anything. I was asking my principal or my bus driver, "Can you please help me? I'm afraid I will be harmed at home." And no one did. But what happened was I cultivated this genius survival mechanisms, and I was able to learn how to do vision and you know, my healing abilities. But with her, because she has safety and she's been supported, you know, watching, she's a mathematical genius. She's doing self-portraits that they're taking her out of class to do because they're so, and I'm like, this is so cool. I just healed that. Now my lineage can go on and really, like, look into all their gifts rather than just that dang survivalism one. Or blessed survivalism one.
That's awesome.
Yeah, ancestor lineage. I got my cards out, so if anyone wants to call in for a reading, I did pull some themes for a general read, which include, they're really cool, actually. So, of course, death and endings comes up, which we had already talked about, the death to be reborn process, and, you know, Spirit wanted me to share that it is messy. It is, it can be painful, and that both endings and beginnings require stopping, breathing, softening, and checking in with what your most basic needs are, and that's a theme. There is also a big focus this month on love and romance, which makes sense because of Valentine's Day, and I looked a little into the history of Valentine's Day, and there is something to this, you know, middle of early spring and budding romance, and so someone else might know more of the history, but I just doubt, you know, dove into a little bit. There is a bit of a shadow side coming up with love and romance, and so we're being asked to really look at, and this correlates into wanting to be loved or wanting to be seen, is the remembrance that this month to romance yourself, to make sure that you treat yourself, dip a little bit out of survivalism and get into some thrivalism, you know, what makes you spark, what makes you happy, not covering up pain, but really like brings you some juicy joy. Because if not, if you're expecting, you know, this Valentine's or this, you know, this time, if you're expecting something, you know, from someone else that, again, you're not giving yourself, you're going to be disappointed. And so, you know, expect nothing but just be happy, you know, give yourself something. And chances are a little romance will be a brewing. you like that? Work is coming up and career. There's been a lot of themes, you know, the two top topics are love and romance and work. So it's funny these came up. I'm like, oh, it's going to come up. But there's a completion. A lot of people are realizing that, and if you haven't, try to be open to jumping on the bandwagon that it's time to stop doing, you know, what you're doing out of I have to because I need to make money. That whole theme is very, it is. That is part of it. I'm validating that, yes, that is the way that our culture, you know, makes our, that is how we get our energy exchanged, to get the food and the things that we need. That being said, there are many, many ways to get your needs met through doing what you love. And if you don't know what you love, start there. Keep working the job you're working or keep seeking, but start to really find out what do you love. And what are you doing because you think you should be doing it? But there's been a lot of progress in that. I think a lot of people are opening their eyes to who they are and what they're here to do. And that's powerful. That's a big deal. Good job, everybody. Or at least intrigued by the thought of it.
Yeah.
Art. There's two more themes. Art is a big one. So creating... a lot through movement too. So, which anytime you're creating, I guess you're pretty much moving. But and there's a optimism. There's some refreshing waters and universal. This is cool. What I'm seeing. There's like this cleansing and rejuvenating energy through water coming through, which you had already mentioned. You're going to go do at the ocean, and it's cool.
Right.
Near a body of water, jump in a cooler shower, bathtub, and pray to the water and really invoke its medicine, because the water is the element that's wanting to work with us right now.
Love it. Love it.
Last thing that popped up was star beings. So let me tap into that and see what's coming up. Oh, okay, easy enough. So another thing that helps us feel safe is allowing spirit to help us. And when we think that we are all that is, well, yeah, that's scary as shit. Like, I'm not going to just rely on people because they're human. There is something we can rely on them, and we need to. And there's good in humanity. I'm not saying that, but there is a bigger, another thing we can add to our toolkit, which is a sense of safety of prayer, remembering to invoke your own personal guardian angels, talk to your own guides, and be very specific. They're saying be very specific about your requests. They can't help you unless you ask them, and that doesn't mean they're going to do exactly what you ask them if it comes from an ego place. But they are. There's a lot of people out there listening right now that haven't been speaking outwardly. So go ahead and do that if that feels good to you. And that is the February general theme. Dun, dun, dun.
I like it's a leap year, too.
I didn't know that. What does that mean? There's an extra day in February or something?
An extra day. I think every 4 years they add a day. I'm not exactly sure why. I'd have to do a little research on it and find out. But, yeah, we're in a leap year.
I bet it's mathematical. I bet it's like goes into fractal geometry.
It probably does. You're probably right. I'll go with that. That sounds right. I'll go with that.
I watched a documentary on mathematics and fractal, and it was tripping me out. I was like, oh, my God. We're all like an infinite. I heard we're infinite, swirling around, going on forever, but, yeah, I don't know. That documentary took it to a whole new level, and I wonder if an extra day in February is a portal.
Could be. There's so many things we don't know about this Earth and this planet, you know, and why things we do certain things. You know, some things we just do it because we've done it so long that we just now forget why we do it. And there's probably
probably
a rhyme or reason at one time, and now it's like, psh. Well, it's because we always do it.
Like the storyline gets lost there. Yeah, for sure. And some of it has been erased. That's why I watch so many interviews and documentaries, because it's like, I get little clues, but ultimately I think there's a lot of information that has been, we don't know, but yet we can retrieve because it's in the collective if we go deep enough and listen. I've gotten a few little tidbits here and there, and it blows my mind. Like, I guess like the Flower of Life teachings, how we're all connected, the web, spirit works with me on learning more about that, how to see the big picture rather than just something is one thing. Like, not one thing is one thing. One thing is many freaking things, like a ton of things. And that's where the ego and the intellect and that 10% of our brain, it's like, calm down, brain, because you're not going to – I tell people when I do readings, I'm like, okay, that is part of it, but there's like a million other parts to it. So let's not even try to figure it out. Let's feel it.
But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you look at the war in the Middle East, not to go off the topic, but you know how the people destroy all the artifacts and destroy all the writings of an ancient cultures and it just disappears?
Yes.
So if they've done this, then, you know that other cultures have done it. You know, the Romans did it, and, you know, it just blows my mind about the things we probably have lost. And then somehow we're tapping back into parts of it little by little. But we lost a lot of good stuff along the way, because someone wanted to be right and in control.
You're right. I know. I have great hope that it is not lost. I do. I feel like it's part of that rubber band, that yin or yang, like we're supposed to forget, to remember again and return to innocence and like dance and be like,
That's a good point, too. I like that point, too. That you just said too. That makes sense as well. From that, we can also grow from it too. Even better.
You know what drives me nuts is and I don't know why, but I've been being called back and back and back to the Serpent Mound and Peebles. And when I thought about I wonder if Elite Day's a portal. I was going to ask you if we wanted to gather a few people and go to the Serpent Mound, because maybe something would happen. Cool, but
I think something happens all the time we're there.
Oh, every time, for sure. But there's times when it opens up. Trust me, it's like whoa, like maybe. But anyways, the whole point of that was that when I was there, and I know I talked about this along like a year ago, when I was there with my friends, we heard a gigantic being. We did not see it, but I heard it crunch through the trees, and it was freaking huge. And then the sound that it made like a Yeti type of Native American war cry. And
it sure wasn't Amber.
Amber wasn't there. No. Yeah.
She make that sound.
Yes, you could make that sound, dude. It was tight. It was not human, though. It wasn't fully human, and that was very obvious. So there was more, you know, we had some cool skeptic. We had a little skeptic in the group that was like, okay, I researched it. There is not an animal in this vicinity that makes that sound. But anyway, so they did find tons of gigantic skeletons, or a few gigantic skeletons around there. And so when I did my research about, you know, these gigantic skeletons, what is it, the Smithsonian, as soon as a gigantic skeleton is found, puts it in the basement. Just puts it in the basement. Like, they're like, we don't want people knowing about the inner earth people, because what the fuck would happen? They probably have some of the information. When are they going to, now we're getting huge conspiracy theory, which I love, but when are they going to, like, interact with us again? They're holding it. I have a feeling they're, like, holding some of this ancient information for us. But for some reason, maybe it's not time. I don't know. Or maybe they never will. But they're there. Me and my friends heard it. And then the skeletons have been found all around the world. But they found some at the Serpent Mound. So, yeah.
It's pretty cool. Like giant dinosaurs, giant people. You know, the atmosphere was much different back then, you know. But we were.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that would make sense why things would be a certain way.
Like the atmosphere was thinner.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So things got bigger.
That's interesting, because when we were there, the air got the air changed in the lungs. Like it was, it went from, right now it's heavy. I can feel the air going in my lungs. It was harder to breathe. We talked about it afterwards. It was a little, when that portal opened there, it was, the air got thin. The sounds changed. It was so cool. Yeah. So cool. When are you coming back?
I don't know when I'm coming back. I'm not
stay
sure.
Until it feels good.
We'll stay here until, you know, like you said, until it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
So far, so good.
Until
they kick us out again. Get out!
I've been looking and searching for a getaway. It's good to get away. It is good to get away and then come back. So I have been working with a very powerful healer. We've just nothing's random. Nothing's random. That's the sense of safety I can speak from my experience, that it might seem that this life is random and that anything could happen, but there are thousands or millions, I can't remember, of, you know, meteors passing around our atmosphere at every moment. Like, everything is on such a delicate balance. Resist, practice this month if we can. If anyone wants to practice with me, it would be so great to resist nothing. To step. That doesn't mean that we're powerless and just, you know, not taking action, but just like going with the flow in the moment. One of the best tools that I've picked up so far for that is through breath. Like, you know, I wish I would have known this stuff when my baby was little, but when Shay was little and she'd scream, I can guarantee you I held my breath and my breathing became real shallow. And now I know when someone around me is yelling or screaming or has a need that needs to be met, how to soften, feel my muscles soften, relax in my body and simply breathe. Like, breathe, people. Just get your breath on. It's going to be okay. Life is an adventure.
adventure.
Dance, celebrate. Let me see how much time we have. I'd like to. I didn't start with the guided meditation. It'd be nice to meditate for a minute.
10 minutes. 10 minutes. You got
10 minutes. Okay. Does that sound good to you? Does that feel good?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay. All right. I've got my rattle too, so I'm going to rattle a little bit and just channel. We'll get really relaxed, rejuvenate. We can all go about our day and process the information that we brought up. So begin by softening the breath, taking your breath inward, and exhaling, and envisioning your entire breath circulating like water throughout your body. And visualize taking in glorious nutrients and information and an epic air from the plants and the trees around you, from the other people around you. Little H2O droplets that are in the air. When we breathe in, we're breathing in so much nourishment and information. We're breathing in other people's prayers. We're breathing in the messages that our guides and our angels are whispering back to our replies, to our requests. For all this information to come in and circulate in each cell, membrane, through your blood, into your bone marrow, to your toenails and your fingernails. Keep breathing in life force energy straight from spirit, straight from the earth. And notice how safe, if you are safe, hopefully in the moment, just how safe you are in this moment. And if a thought about the future, the past pops in your head, allow it to go back into the atmosphere with your exhale. So breathe in that nourishment from the outside world, from human, animal, earth, sky. And then, exhale that fear out to be recycled. And notice personally where your sense of safety lives in your own body. Perhaps it's at the base of your spine. Check in the base of your spine. Does it feel really safe and rooted there? Check into the little vertebrae that come out from the base of your spine all the way up. Check in with them. And take your breath and really cleanse away any fears or any resistance of your muscles around the bone in that area. It's parts that are clinging tightly, or the parts of the back that believe there's not enough support, there's not enough money, there's not enough security. Really breathe in support and clear away any of that doubt. There is enough. There is more than enough for all of us. So go into your legs, your thighs, your buttocks, your knees, your calves. Really allow yourself to ground and get present here. So when you're breathing in the air, use that exhale to let your legs, your knees, and the bones throughout your legs and feet get really deep and push and ground into the earth. Arrive here. Arrive in this moment. good job. Now go into your belly space and maybe take whichever hand feels good, right or left. Place a hand on your belly. When you inhale, blow your belly up like a balloon. When you exhale, squeeze out. Squeeze out, making room in your second chakra for that little spring seed that you're getting ready to plant. The seed of hope. Seed of renewal. And while you're in your belly, notice all those old fears that are now turning into, they have decayed and become old and are now fertilizer. All those old fears from last year, all the fears of the future, take them and allow them to dissolve with the life force breath into fertilizer for that seed of hope. Just rub circles on your belly both ways and churn that fertilizer, that nourishment for new art, new ideas. Churn away the beliefs that there's not enough, that we're not supported. And take that second chakra in your belly and keep mixing all the ingredients, all the food and nourishment and elements that are in there. And when you're done, envision yourself planting the seed of hope, the seed of remembrance of the ancient ways of who you are and what you're here to do. Full of support by the outside world, by yourself, by your friends, by your family, and just feel that support and envision it all around the seed that you're planting. It is a seed of love. It is a seed of your gifts that you are bringing into this world that will be birthed this year and all the years next. And then envision this sacred water coming in and watering the fertilizer, the dirt from the earth. We're going to let that dark seed germinate. And for the next couple weeks to a month, we're not going to do anything with the seed, but give it the purest of water, the most beautiful minerals and nutrients. And we're going to let it do its thing. And we're going to take really good care of our bodies and really good care of our minds. And we're going to take time to sit with no sound, no music, and just be with our bodies and check into our vertebrae, check into our muscles, check into our belly. We're going to take 5 minutes every day to notice where we've tensed up and send that sacred breath in to soften it. Thank you. Ooh, deep.
That's powerful.
Powerful. Return to innocence.
Yes.
Innocence.
There's a song like that.
I know. It's by Enya. It actually came up in a reading and then in a past life vision I had. So, yeah, maybe, I should have had that ready to play. Return of innocence.
Oh.
Joyous reunion. Please send my love to your family. I love your family greatly, deeply. I know I've had many lifetimes with them. They are.
Hi to all of you guys. To Jake and Markel and Camille.
Hi,
Don.
In my
hi.
Heart, I can't wait to hold that baby.
She can't wait to hold the baby.
I want to hold that baby. And I hope that everyone listening has a blessed day, has a blessed moment, has a blessed Valentine's Day, and may you remain curious and open and softened until next month. Much love. Create some art right now. That's what I'm feeling. Create some art, and if you'd like a personal reading, you can get a hold of me through Facebook. you can personal message me, Dawn Thompson or Dawn of the New Era, as well as you can check out more information about me on my website, www.dawn-thompson.com. And, yeah, much love, many blessings, everyone.
All right, Dawn. We'll see you next month then.
Sounds beautiful. Take care.
All right. Awesome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to WithInsightsRadio.com. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com. I'm producer Iggy. You've been listening to The Gypsy Wagon with your host Dawn Thompson from Dawn of the New Era. Our next show is this Friday at midnight, Mutto at midnight, so hopefully you can tune in, and then we'll see you again on Monday, and we'll start the lineup again. Have a nice week, and have a great weekend.